Just a couple of weeks ago, we did have a great conversation with one person who comes to the living room, and it was an eye-opening experience because this person is struggling to understand that God, not that God is real, but that God is personal. And they made the statement, when I think that God is love, I can start to imagine that maybe God could come and be in me and work through me, and that helps. And that's this incredible starting point that this person is on, and an ongoing journey to understand what it means that God loves her with his life and wants all of us to follow him through Jesus. Exciting things are happening, and I know exciting things are happening here at First as well, and it's a privilege for us to be here with you. I can share a story like that. We all love a good story. We're going to read a part of a good story this morning, a true story of a man named Joseph. Some of you may have heard the story of Joseph through the play Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, a famous play that's been on shows around the world for years now. Actually, just last year, London Central put it on, and our niece and nephew, Emma and Daniel, were a part of that. It's a great story, a story of a man with dreams and visions and lots of drama around his family, a highly dysfunctional family. But what we're going to read is the end of the story. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 50, reading verses 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. This is God's word. It's true that we all love a good story. And a good story, so we're told by teachers and creative writing experts, has a beginning, a middle, and an end. I mentioned before that the story of this man, Joseph, and his life has been put on stage in that show, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I grew up listening to that music, seeing it performed. I loved the story. But what I didn't know until I was a little bit older was that the play gives you the beginning and the middle. I mean, there's a great production, a great song at the end of the play, but it really doesn't take you to the end of the story. What we just read is the end of the story. The end brings things to a conclusion, brings things into focus, brings us a point, gives us something to think about, and even to put into action. But you know, stories are not just on the stage. or in books. We all have a story. You can look back on your life and you can tell people stories from your life. Some of those stories make people laugh. Some of them, they groan. Sometimes you tell a story and it makes people's heart break. Because we've been through funny and trying and heartbreaking times. We are writing the story of our lives, even as I speak. And more than that, scientists tell us, and behavioral scientists in particular, tell us that we tell our stories all the time, every day, in a split second. And what I mean is this: you're walking down the street and you see somebody you know up ahead, and your eyes lock, you see each other, and you're about to wave when that person looks both ways and runs down a side alley. And you tell yourself a story. You say, oh, what have I done? Why are they mad at me? Why are they offended? Or you think, why would they be like that? That person is awful, that they would be so rude, right? You're telling yourself a story. The beginning is we saw each other. The middle is they ran away. And the end is, here's the reason. I did something wrong, or they're just badly behaved. And you stew on it. You chew on it. And the next time you see them, you're not sure how you want to treat them, right? Because you told yourself a story about what was going on in that split second. And we do it all the time. When we don't know the end of the story, we make up an end. The reason I say all of this is because the beginning and the middle of Joseph's story is the kind of story that would make most of us pretty angry, pretty bitter, pretty intent on getting revenge. I don't know how many of you know the story, but let me sum it up in a few short sentences. Joseph was one of the youngest children in a family of 12 boys and at least one daughter. He was the favorite of his father, lavished with gifts, given authority over his brothers, and as you can imagine, that didn't go over very well. Add to that, Joseph had dreams, and these dreams seemed to hint that Joseph would be very powerful and would exercise power over his whole family. And Joseph made the mistake of telling his brothers these dreams. I don't know about you, but I know it doesn't go over well with me when somebody talks like they're better, bigger, more important, more powerful than I am. It kind of bugs me. Well, it really bugged them. To the point that on an impulse, these brothers sold Joseph into slavery to a bunch of people who were going to a foreign country far away, and then they told their father that, oops, he got killed by a lion. And Joseph's life doesn't get better from there, it gets worse. He goes to work for somebody, he impresses his boss, but then his boss's wife gets mad at him and tells her husband that Joseph made advances on her. He gets thrown in prison. He helps some people there who say that they're going to help him get out of prison. Well, guess what? They forget about him. But eventually, he interprets a dream that the king of Egypt has, and Joseph is lifted to the highest office in the land. He becomes prime minister of Egypt. And those dreams from his youth come true. His brothers come begging for food in the midst of a famine, coming to the prime minister of Egypt, who they don't recognize. And Joseph plays a trick on them. He doesn't let them know who he is. He leads them through a whole bunch of tests where he causes one of the other brothers to be left behind. It's heartbreaking what Joseph puts them through. Why? Because he's angry. He doesn't trust them. He remembers what happened in the past. And he is writing his own story. Joseph wants the ending that he wants, and the ending that he wants is one in which he's not only exalted over his brothers, but his brothers are humiliated in his presence. It's actually pretty understandable. Even nice people, even good people have those moments when somebody hurts you and you think, boy, I hope you get yours. And sometimes we start actively pursuing it. Joseph was writing his own story. You and I are writing our own story. And often we're writing it remembering what has happened at the beginning and in the middle of our story, and we're hoping that at the end of our story there's going to be justice, and we're trying to position ourselves so that we get what we want and others get what they deserve. Of course, there's a problem with that. And the problem is that if you and I are honest with ourselves, and if we honestly listen to the people around us, there are other people who are wishing the same thing for you and for me. Because we've said things, even without realizing it, that have hurt others. And then sometimes we did it knowing full well. We have done things that have been unkind. We have participated in situations that have left others feeling alone, hurt, angry. Joseph was not the innocent victim. Victim, yes. Innocent, no. Did he deserve to be sold into slavery? No. Were his brothers justified in their anger toward him? Yeah. Bratty little brother, bragging about what he got. The problem when you and I try to write our own story is that we have a very limited perspective. At the end of Joseph's story, there's a change in perspective. You know, the brothers come back to Joseph. They've been living in Egypt with him for some time. Their father passes away, and they're afraid that with their father gone, Joseph is going to have a heyday again and get the revenge that he wants. And so they concoct a story. They lie to Joseph and say, you know, Dad told us to tell you to be good to us. And we don't know how it happened, when it happened, but at some point along the way, revenge and justice stopped being what Joseph wanted. And instead, he looked back on his life and he started to recognize that he wasn't the only one writing the story. That even though terrible things had happened, injustices had been done against him, that somehow God was in all of it. It wasn't that Joseph was just a passive participant in his own story. He had made decisions along the way. He had had choices. Some were good and some were not. But no matter what he did, for better or for worse, God was still writing a better story. And Joseph says to his brothers, listen, I could be angry because you did some horrible things to me. But what you intended for harm, God had a whole different plan for it. You selling me into slavery was you trying to get rid of me, but God was trying to put me where he needed me to be. God was writing the story. And God is at work in your life and in mine, writing a story that we can choose to look for or choose to ignore. Even if Joseph had chosen to get his final revenge on his brothers, it wouldn't have changed the fact that God put Joseph where he was to rescue people from a terrible famine. God is still working out his plan, no matter our choices. But when we recognize that God is actually writing it, there's a joy that comes along with it. There is a peace that comes along with it. There is the opportunity to let go of anger and bitterness and to realize that even though terrible things have happened to me, God has turned them into something good. And I don't say this to negate the injustice that you have experienced, the pain that you have gone through. But there is something bigger happening. God wants to be the author of your life and mine. But more than that, he actually wants to be the main character in your life. You see, if I'm the main character and bad things happen to me, then something has to happen to make it right. But if I am a supporting character in my own life, but God is the main actor, then it's what happens to him that matters. And when we look at the God of Jacob and Isaac and Joseph, we see a God who stepped into our broken world and deserved to be treated like king, like God, and yet was treated like a criminal. We see the God who stepped into pain, didn't want it, but knew that it had to happen in order to rescue you and me. We see the God who in Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross and forgave the ones who put him there. And he did it because a bigger story was being written. A story that would mean that when he stepped out of the grave, you and I would have hope. You and I would have forgiveness. You and I would have the opportunity to have a new story applied to our lives. Joseph recognized God at work, and it's the God who himself could bring vengeance for all the suffering we put him through. But instead, he chooses mercy. So what's your story? What are the beginning and middle parts of your story that you chew on and long for justice and long for revenge? Imagine what it would feel like to stop and say, God, it's not my story anymore. It's yours. Help me to see how you've been at work all along, and let me be a supporting character in the story you keep writing from this moment on. There's a great story unfolding. I want to be a part of it. I want my life to reflect it. I want the main character, Jesus Christ, to be front and center in every part of my life. And when I look back, I want to hand those painful moments over to him and say, I don't understand it, but I know you're writing something better through it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we look to you because you are the one who not only deserves our worship, but you deserve and deserved to be treated so much better than we treated you. Lord, as we look at our own stories, help us to look for you. Help us to hand the pen over to you, to let you write it, to believe that you are doing something great even through the hardships. And Lord, may you be glorified in our lives, because this is your story, not ours. Amen.